This is Flight Training the Way I See It with Mike Schiffer. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the October 2025 Flight Training the Way I See It podcast and video newsletter from CFI Bootcamp with your host, me, Mike Shiflett. So we got a bit to cover in this podcast, and what we're going to be covering is landing lessons, some new rules, smarter training. And we'll start off with we are announcing our accelerated CFI and CFII programs are now online for 2026. So as this year winds down, we are poised then to bring out the 2026 season. And that is available if you have our newsletter by a link. You can check out that, or you can go to cfibootcamp.com. And at the very top of the website, you'll see a link called Calendar. And you can scroll through until you get to the dates for 2026 and see what's available there. We'll be doing both CFII and CFI initial classes. The CFII classes, typically we do this about every 2 to 3 months. And the initial CFI class every month. So why would you want to do an accelerated CFI program? Because there's light at the end of the tunnel. Are you stuck in the rut where you go in for a lesson, never know when it's going to end? When am I ready? I don't know. We'll see. Let's see how it goes. That kind of thing. We don't want to do that. You want to finish fast, build confidence, and teach confidently. Now, our accelerated CFI class is designed for pilots ready to step into instruction with confidence. So one of the things I've always said was I have two missions when I teach the CFI class. My first mission is to ensure that you have a great shot at passing the check ride. I can't 100% guarantee it. Nobody can. But we can say, we want to put you in really good shape for that. The second is I need you to be operational. What does that mean? That means that I want you to be able to take someone from walking through the door of a flight school, all the way through every single endorsement, every training requirement, know all the steps in that process, and then be sitting that student down in front of a DPE for their private pilot check ride, properly endorsed, IACRA filled out, the whole thing. I need you to be able to do it all. So I find that CFI training companies don't do a very good job of making you operational. I think they do a good job of preparing you for a check ride. So we want to do both, because when you get out, you don't want this imposter syndrome, right? Where you feel like I didn't deserve this, or what should I do? What should I do anyway? If you're asking yourself, what do I do? Or not having a starting point, not having a roadmap, something's wrong. All right. So there's a big deficiency in the training. So we don't do that. So when you leave, you'll have a complete syllabus. You'll know how to use that syllabus from end to end. You'll know how to teach the lessons in it. You'll know the endorsement requirements, all the regulations that are built around that, and you know how to get someone ready for a practical test for private pilot and for commercial pilot and for sport pilot. And we're doing a lot of sport pilot work lately, and we're also changing the CFI program such that sport pilot instructors who want to be sport pilot instructors can take our 7-day course but only spend 4 to 5 days at it, okay, because there's a lot less to do. So these courses are generally available in Palo Alto and Miami during different times of the year, and they're always available virtually via Zoom. Now we'll talk a little bit about our CFII program, and then we'll get into the rest of the presentation here. It's about 10 days on campus with us, can be a little less, but there's 3 immersive days where we do CFII ground, and that covers advanced weather, instrument systems, IFR flight planning, using ForeFlight, by the way, advanced features of ForeFlight, teaching weather theory from ForeFlight. Using ForeFlight to teach from is also in there. It also includes our CFII essentials, which includes all the lesson plans. It also includes checkride-focused oral prep and scenario-based training. Now, it's designed for both active CFIs and future career instructors. A lot of schools won't hire you if you just have a CFI. And the reason for that is because they don't want to have a break in training. If you get busy with them, they don't want you to have to stop to do your II stuff. That's a big gap in the training, especially when they've given you 6 students to complete in 6 weeks. So that bogs everything down. So most companies want you to have CFII. And again, you can find information on this, the dates, cfibootcamp.com. At the top of the website, there's calendar, and you can look through those. Now we'll talk about a product we just released, the Private Pilot Smart Study Pro. So study smarter, fly better. There's a link for that in the newsletter. But you can also find it at cfibootcamp.com under digital products in the online store. So the Private Pilot Smart Study Pro is officially launched, and it's already transforming how students prepare for their Private Pilot check ride. So it's designed around the ACS, and it basically takes every single task, there are 45 of them for the Private Pilot, and it goes through all the knowledge areas, all the knowledge elements, I should say, all of the risk management elements, and all the skills, and I voice out in audio, so it can be used in your car, or we're in a place where you can't watch video, what you need to know about those things. Now, we do have video there, because I was just in the place where I could do it, so I did the video as well. But we don't need to rely on the video. I also have companion visual study PDFs, which accompany each of those lessons. So when you're in a place that you can take a look at something, you can have a look at images, maybe some notes, maybe some mnemonics of things to memorize, things of that nature. So unlike generic ground schools that overload the student with facts, Smart Study Pro teaches connections. It's the focused areas behind each task area. Every purchase includes unlimited access and a full year of free updates as the FAA revises any ACSs. So this ensures that pilots always study from current relevant information. For instructors, it's also a powerful teaching aid, helping standardize pre-check ride preparation across students. As one recent student said, Smart Study Pro made the ACS make sense. It built real confidence, not just memorization. Now, if you were with our Power Hour crew on Saturdays, you would have heard Rod Machado, who was one of our guests. We had almost 1,000 people in the room a few Saturdays ago. And we talked about landings, 52 years of teaching landings and what I learned. That's what he talked about, which is quite good. And then last week we had a CFI roundtable. So we had a panel at Greg Brown, Dorothy Schick, Rex Scholl, myself, and we talked in depth about flight training. In particular, what's wrong with it, how we can avoid picking the wrong instructor, what do we look for, what do we say, how much are we willing to pay, all these things were talked about a lot. So these replays are available. Our YouTube channel contains the Rod Machado one, so you can look us up and you will find that video. And we also recorded the Q&A, so that video is somewhere near 3 hours long. There's an hour of content, then the Q&A after that. So he was talking about really a deep dive into the art and science of teaching landings. So he reminded everybody why the fundamentals never fade. So in particular, he was talking about the experiment with the aircoupe that was done. I don't know if you know this, but people could solo the aircoupe in about 4.5 hours because there was no rudder control. And so you could land it sideways and it would straighten itself out and you could take away a lot of the issues that come with landings. He also talks about the pizza slice. So when you bring the nose of the airplane up in the landing flare, you may lose a lot of visual cues outside. But in the edges where the windows are, where the dash sort of curls, it looks like a bit of a pizza slice there. You can see out farther through there, and you should be able to position yourself so you can see out that way. He also talked about the runway expansion effect, which is a very interesting thing, and that is the point where you would transition from a descent to the roundout, and there's a very specific spot for it. You could say about where to flare is about 10 feet, or flare or roundout is another word for that. And you have a natural 10-foot filter in your head, if you don't know it. So you have two natural fears. One is the fear of falling, and the other is the fear of loud noises. And you have an innate sense of how high is too high before you should start getting nervous about it. So if you climb up on a ladder, or you go to one or two rungs, and you look down at the ground, you're not really afraid of that height. But if you go about 10 feet, you get to a point where you go, this would not be good. Right? And something bad is going to happen. So you do have an idea of how high 10 feet is, or getting to 10 feet. Now, this, of course, is for a training airplane, what I'm telling you for the runway expansion effect. So what happens is as you approach a runway, it looks a little bit trapezoidal. It's wider at the part you're going to and a little narrower as you look down the edges towards the end. And you see the geometry sort of stay the same. It's just getting bigger. Gets bigger, bigger, and it does so at a pretty consistent rate until you get to about 10 feet or less. Then what happens is the runway geometrically expands. It just goes whoosh. It goes left to right very quickly. When that happens, that is the point to start the landing roundout. And from that point, really all you need to do is put the nose on the horizon and hold it there. And of course, you have to take care of drift. We could talk about that a little bit later. But in general, that's the point we want to do. Because if the nose is below the horizon, it's a bit too low. If it's way above the horizon, it's too high, and it likely could stall before it touches the ground. So keep it right there. And you have to be at about 1.3 VSO for this whole thing to work. Also, there's something called a sampling response, which some people never developed. They never taught this before. But if you're in that landing flare position and you push back or you push forward or pull back on the yoke and you let the control rest for a second, you get to see the input. And you can say, oh, that's not enough, Lemoore. And that's too much this way. And so you're sampling for the response, which is a very good way to do that. Now, of course, we could talk about landings forever, right? Because they're so complicated. But the idea was of his presentation was, why is it taking people so long to learn how to land? And in our CFI tips, you're going to find out some tips to really help you and or help you as an instructor to teach someone to land way more quickly. Now, in terms of the CFI roundtable, the panel that we had last Saturday, we talked about using a syllabus a lot. We talked about how much instructors should charge, and the cheapest instructor isn't necessarily the best instructor, and how the hourly rate really doesn't impact the cost of training, the overall cost, as much as you think. We had conversations about how to pick a flight school, what makes a good flight school, flight instructors, what's their motivation, diagnostic capability, what you really pay for. That's Greg Brown's response. He's saying that with a seasoned career flight instructor, you have someone with diagnostic capability who has seen a lot of this stuff over and over and over again and can get to the point of fixing it quickly. So the panel members were myself. We had Greg Brown, who is the author of The Savvy Flight Instructor, along with the Turbine Pilot's Manual and some other books on ASA. He also was an article writer for AOPA magazine, and he has a podcast called Greg Brown's Flying Carpet, which is really quite good. So he's been flying a very long time, 30, 40 years, I would say. He's based in Flagstaff, Arizona, and he owns a 182. And he regularly attends the CFI study group Zoom meetings every Tuesday from 4 until 6 Pacific time. It's a Facebook group. So that's free to join. I would join that. That's Dorothy Schick. By the way, Dorothy was one of our other panel members. She's been flying a very long time as well, owned a flight school in Oregon, has been a career flight instructor since then, and she has very good insight. She is the administrator for the CFI study group and answers a lot of questions and hosts those Tuesday night meetings, Tuesday afternoon meetings. She had input into making sure the students' expectations were set, in terms of when they first start to fly, how it would go, how much it might cost, what the responsibility of the student would be. For example, there's a certain amount of studying that has to be done, a certain amount of preparation that has to be done. So she was giving us a lot of tips about how she onboards her students with this upfront information, so no one is blindsided. Then we had Rex Scholl. Rex works with CFI Bootcamp to do lesson plan critiques and some other teaching. He is both an airplane and a glider CFI. He's based in Utah, around Ogden, Utah, and he specializes in glider flying and backcountry flying and tailwheel. So he has a very good grasp on the regulations, and also he's seen a fair number of people come into that world. And he talks about how a student needs to understand what they want to do with aviation. Then we talked for a long time about how we find the best school, a school that fits us, how we find a good fit with a flight instructor, and how we need to get on that. If we don't like them, the CFI or the school, we need to get on that quick, because as the time goes, as time runs, it becomes harder and harder to leave your current situation. It's very difficult to have those kind of conversations, but in the beginning, it's a lot easier. Now, the roundtable is available on our website. It's our membership site. It's Bootcamp Plus. So if you go to our website, cfibootcamp.com, go to the top resources, Bootcamp Plus, and you'll see a membership site. And it's pretty cheap for you guys. It's $9 a month. And you can quit anytime you want. It has all the power hours. We had 200 and almost 250 right now. 249, I believe, is where we are, of those one-hour shows. They're all there. Okay, and then one topic which we won't dwell on too much because we talked about it quite a bit in the past. Mosaic is now done, so it's out. If you don't know what that is, modernization of a special airworthiness certificate, and that covered the rule changes, I should say, covered pilot side of things, training requirements, privileges, all that sort of thing, as well as airplane requirements. So now approximately 3/4 of the general aviation fleet will be within the reach of sport pilots. This is sport pilot 2.0, right? It's a redefinition. It's not just an update. So just as a quick bulleted list so you can listen to it, this is what you can do now as a sport pilot that you couldn't have done a few days ago. So as of October 22nd, the rule was published, and now you can fly an airplane up to a stall speed, a VS1 speed of 59 knots. So there's no weight requirement anymore. It's just that. That's the first thing you can do. And you can do this on a driving license. You don't need a medical, you don't need basic med. You can also fly retractable gear airplanes via a logbook endorsement and variable pitch propeller airplanes with a logbook endorsement. You can also fly at night if you have an endorsement, but you have to have basic med or a third class medical to do that. You're still restricted to one passenger, but you can fly a four-seat airplane. So a Cessna 172, 182 all work. Archer, Warrior, all those work. One that doesn't work is the DA-40. The stall speed is, I believe, 60 or 61, so it's out of the range. Now, aircraft will be able to be certificated under a new consensus standard, which means that a lot of aircraft manufacturers like Vans can move in to the consensus standard and sell those airplanes to be used at flight schools. So you're going to see a lot of that happening. We're also going to see people have ATPs, commercial pilot certificates, privates, but don't have a medical certificate, but they still have the driver's license and their medical wasn't denied or deferred or revoked. They'll be able to fly sport pilot privileges using that driving license. They'll be able to come in, rent an airplane, 172, 182, take a passenger, and fly normally without needing a third class or basic med. Now they'll be flying under the sport pilot rules, so they won't be able to fly at night, for example, without the medical. So that's the Mosaic changes in a nutshell. There is one restriction, which, because it's not valid now, that's almost not worth talking about. But basically, you can do a proficiency check if you want to add sport pilot privileges, but not for airplane category. So, for example, Raul Salazar lives up in Vero Beach and he has a gyrocopter business. And if you go there as a private pilot, sport pilot, commercial, ATP, whatever you do, and you do training with him, he can do your training. Then another CFI can do a proficiency check for you using the PTS for sport pilot. And if that's passed, the endorsement's made in your logbook and you have that privilege at sport pilot level. So you can fly a gyrocopter, and you probably don't need anything more than the sport pilot level to fly a gyrocopter or powered parachute or even glider. So this provision to have two CFIs, no DPE, was for everything before. But on October 22nd, the FAA limited it and said, well, because we're giving you bigger and badder airplanes, we want that to be done by a DPE or Aviation Safety Inspector, ASI. So proficiency checks are no longer permitted for airplane or helicopter. Okay, let's look at our pro tips for flight instructors and students. Number one, these come from Rod Machado quite a bit. Number one is teach power off approaches first. So when students learn landings with the engine at idle, they're forced to see and feel how energy dissipates naturally. This builds instinctive understanding of sink rate, glide path, and attitude control. Right? Now, once the visual judgment is strong, adding power becomes a refinement, not a crutch. So also, we want to teach with 10 degrees of flap, the first notch of flaps, and not more than that, because we want things to be as consistent every time as possible. That's one way to get our landings a little bit quicker. The second thing is to use chair flying daily. Chair flying isn't about pretending to fly. It's about really mentally rehearsing success and these maneuvers and the landings. Encourage your students to visualize flows, call-outs, and control movements while seated safely on the ground. 10 minutes of focused chair flying each day reduces in-flight workload, sharpens muscle memory, and boosts confidence. Number three is limit altitude callouts. Calling out 20 feet, 10 feet, 5 feet may sound helpful, but it teaches dependence, not awareness. Every runway has its own shape, texture, slope, visual cues, etc. Train your students to rely on the sight picture and peripheral perception instead. Number four is teach your students to trim for hands-off stability. Pilots who fight the flight controls are often fighting trim. So teaching proper technique until the aircraft flies itself, allowing the focus on control pressure, situational control, is what we want. Normally, the best time to trim is when the speed is stable. So if you're in transition, it's okay to trim if the control pressures are making it difficult. But if you can hold them off until the speed is stable, steady, then you'll make one trim change. The last tip is to debrief with purpose. So a debrief shouldn't just replay what went wrong, it should explore why it happened. Encourage your students to analyze the decision chain, identify missed cues, and describe what they do differently next time. So reflection transforms experience into learning and strengthens judgment, which is the ultimate goal of every CFI, is to get good judgment. Now we'll wrap it up with the holidays are approaching. So you're about ready to get your best deals from CFI Bootcamp. So we're putting a bunch of things together. There's going to be a Black Friday, Cyber Monday sale. There will be instructor resource packages available. There'll be Bootcamp Plus early access. So you'll be able to get some bonus Power Hour archives that release for the holidays. And also, we have a provision to let you gift the course to somebody else, especially something like the Private Pilot ACS Smart Study Pro. That's a very good thing to gift around the holidays. Okay, that's all we've got. So keep an eye out for that November blast. And we'll see you next month on the November 2025 podcast of Flight Training the Way I See It. This has been a production of Flight Training the Way I See It. News, tips, and opinions.